harsh, biting wind cuts across the valley, daring any and all to face its icy wrath. As the gypsy woman pulls the ragged shawl tighter across her shoulders, her eyes forward and resolute. She regards the grasslands below, the crater-pocked landscape giving a bitter irony to the idea that grass ever once grew here. She sighs heavily at the memory of beauty so quickly vanquished, and slowly makes her way down the muddy slope to the valley floor below, careful feet finding dry grip amongst the mud and grime. She has vague memories of this place, a sea of swaying green punctuated with proud rustling trees that broke the silence with their leaf song, vibrant flowers growing wild and free and unhindered. The scene before her is but a shadow of that glory. Only death and desolation lay here. Beauty was stolen with a malicious grasping hand. Her feet find flat land and she breathes easier, her clothes having avoided a muddy confrontation with the ground, and she moves the wicker basket hanging from one arm to the other, its vacant, empty state as good an indication as any that home was very, very far away. She has come for flowers, any that might have survived the destruction that brought civilization and life low before its might, in the hope of continuing to eke out a life for her family. In a world dyed grey with hatred and loss, colour was the currency of love and happiness still unforgotten, and was as such in high demand. Slowly picking her way around craters and the still rotting corpses of the dead, she scans the ground for any semblance of colour, her eyes growing wide at a patch of bright sky blue that hides within the shadow of an immolated tree stump. Eagerly, she plucks each and every stem from the ground, careful not to damage them in any way, treating them as precious as the stones and metals that once ruled the world. A pang of sorrow creeps over her, as it always does, at the thought of stealing life from something so valiant and resilient in the face of madness. Nature had clung to life here, resolute and defiant, and only her greed and will to survive ended the efforts of each and every petal. She hoped that any great being up above would forgive her this tragedy, and shivered at the thought. Hours pass, and still she works, the basket growing heavier and more resplendent as the sun sails lazily across the summer sky. As her feet carry her from one side of the deep valley to the other, a curious sight catches her eye. The bodies at her feet are numerous and varied in their state of decay, many having missing limbs or all little remaining to identify them as once being amongst the living. But a pair catches her attention, and she finds herself walking slowly towards them as if in a trance. As she nears the pair, her heart grows heavy, and the emptiness within her soul becomes swollen and cold. Two bodies, a man and a woman, lay but feet apart, eyes wide, arms outstretched. The man is young and handsome, his pale face wearing the remnants of a lover's smile. His blue eyes are a jarring splash of colour on a canvas of mud-coated cloth and deathly pale skin. He wears the uniform of a soldier, no doubt once worn with pride and joy, now merely adding further description to the sorrowful fate he suffered here. The woman, her eyes clenched tight in defiance to their evident destiny, also wears the garments of a fighting woman, the material fitting her slender frame in a fashion that only adds to the loss the world suffered in allowing this one to depart so young and filled with the vigour of youth and life and love. Their bodies lay feet apart, but in death the distance may as well have been a lifetime for all the difference it made to them now. Their fingers, now stiff with the clutches of death, are splayed and long, reaching for the other, and between the two forever grasping hands lies a single daffodil, its bright yellow petals imitating the sun that hangs overhead. The flower lies between them, as if even nature itself were still striving now to unite them in death. She bends to pluck the flower, but doubt suddenly clouds her mind and a sudden urge to leave the stem well alone holds her still. The scene is romance incarnate, two lovers desperate for love's final touch before their fall, and to take the flower seems to her a sin unparalleled. Despite the pleading cries of her soul, she takes the daffodil in gentle fingers and pulls it from the earth, laying it gently into the basket before bidding a silent goodbye to the pair with eyes that are devoid of emotion, for she has no more to give this day. She returns to the camp as night descends with its shadowy veil, and is greeted with the youthful cries of a young girl, her familial partner and child. She places the basket at her feet and scoops her up into aching arms, feeling the warmth of her breath caressing her neck, warming her against the night. She places her gently on the floor after a time, and notes how the girl begins to pick through the flowers carefully, cooing and mumbling to herself at their beauty. She whirls on the spot, looking up at her mother with the wide eyes of an infatuated young girl, a daffodil clutched in her tiny hand. The scene is horrific and startling in its innocence, and the woman suddenly realizes that she had forgotten all about the flower and its tragic story. Before she can voice her worry, or perhaps convince the girl to choose another one of the many in the basket, she has already slid the stem into her thick brown hair and beams up at her mother, a wide smile playing across her round face. The gypsy woman sighs quietly in sudden defeat, the need for rest and supper drowning her superstitious worry instantly, and the girl skips merrily to the tent the family of two now call home, scooping up the basket without a second thought. As the moon passes over the sky and begins its descent into obscurity, a piercing shriek fills the night sky with dread. Lanterns are lit amongst the camp, and voices yell and cry to one another, attempting to discern the location of the scream with stumbling inefficiency. Minutes pass before the members of the travelling community are huddled around the gypsy woman, tears streaming down her face, her features warped in indescribable horror. In her quivering arms, she holds her daughter, her mouth and eyes open and devoid of life. A now-ceased trickle of blood having painted her neck a crimson the woman would have not hours before craved the sight of. Now, in this moment, it is the colour of all she had ever dared to fear, and all that she had never thought to. Her daughter hangs lifeless in her arms, and there is only despair and sorrow and loss to be heard on this night. As morning rears its head in a glowing greeting of day, the camp is quiet, and all those who do speak do so in hushed tones. A search party had been dispersed into the tree line not minutes after the murder was revealed, but only tired men with heavy eyes, defeat hang over them like a rain cloud, returned. No answers to give but shaking heads, and eyes that sought to look anywhere but into the eyes of the woman whose soul had been eviscerated in a single moment of heart-wrenching discovery. Only the night watchman, an elderly man of years beyond number, offered any possible explanation to the night's events. He spoke of spying two shadows flitting beyond light's reach, darker than any shadow he had ever cast, snaking through the camp, their existence put down to the tendrils of fatigue wringing his person of all vigour. He did not mention that as they passed his post, he swore beyond all doubt that the shadows carried knives of a wicked curve, held aloft, ready to fall. No one spoke as the gypsy woman slowly departed the camp, her possessions abandoned and her daughter buried that very same morning. She holds something close to her chest in crossed hands, and only those close to her path would discern muttering about absolving her sin and returning love to where it belonged, for she had none left to treasure.